This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Is it morning again in the housing market?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. After all that gloom and doom over the worst housing downturn in more than two decades, a ray of hope dawns on new home construction. It's the biggest increase in more than 2 years. It's almost tempting to break out the happy music.
You're out of the woods, you're out of the gun, you're out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light.
But hold on, because this rare bit of good news may not be all it appears to be. Marketplace's Elisa Roth has been taking a closer look at the numbers out this morning.
New housing starts were up more than 8% last month. That's because of new apartments being built. More people are renting these days, and there's been a shortage of multifamily units lately. But the numbers for single-family homes were down, which economists say is probably a better indication of how the market's really doing.
Typically, if single family is still moving in one direction or another, that's the way the headline's going to go. Multifamily construction tends to be pretty volatile.
Chris Lowe is an economist at FTN Financial. He says the total number of new multifamily units for April is still lower than it was in February, and that generally the housing news is still worrying.
Housing ties into almost every one of the bigger stories that relate to the developing recession.
Meanwhile, in other housing news, Fannie Mae just announced it's lowering requirements for down payments on mortgages in areas where house prices are falling. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Wall Street rallied yesterday on a dip in oil prices, but even that good news has been dripping away this morning. Oil prices have soared more than $3 a barrel and topped $127 for the first time today. And the national average for gasoline has been rising all week. AAA figures another penny a gallon increase over the past day to ring in at nearly $3.79 nationwide. That's 39 cents higher than a month ago. And how does $4.45 a gallon sound? Not good at all if you're a truck driver these days, because that's the new national average for diesel fuel. It's going to take more than a few minutes of trading to sort out this morning's jumble of news. At the moment, Wall Street traders are staying near the center line. The Dow is off 12 points, a tenth of 1%. The Nasdaq's down 8 points, a third of a percent. The S&P 500 has shaved off a single point, a tiny fraction of a percent. The recent cyclone in Myanmar wiped out more than 10% of that country's total rice production. The planting season has already started there, and if farmers don't get new seeds into the ground soon, the devastated country could suffer even more from a serious food shortage. Lisa Chow reports.
The Burmese eat more rice than the Vietnamese, the Thais. In fact, their monthly average is about triple that of other Asians. So with the recent storm wiping out so many rice fields, this means trouble. Diedrich de Vleeschauer is with the UN Food and Agricultural Organization. He says poor farmers in the region don't have the money to buy new seeds, but without this harvest, he says, Myanmar could face food shortages through 2009.
The time is running out. We are running against the clock. Rice seeds need to be received in the area within the next 40 to 50 days. Otherwise, there will not be any planting and there will not be any rice harvest later in the year.
He says Myanmar could go from being a rice exporter to a rice importer this year. And this could create more stress on an already strained global food market. Rice prices have soared recently, up about 20% since January. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
Now, we wouldn't recommend this to anyone, but I guess there are some people who find a refuge in their beer when the economy is not treating them well. Problem is, if the economy is not treating you well, how do you pay for the beer? Well, how about buy cheaper beer? That's what the chief executive of Miller Brewing thinks is happening. He says the volume of beer sold remains stable, but the company expects to sell more of the low-cost beer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Bush wrapped up his visit to Israel today. He was there to celebrate the State of Israel's 60th birthday. Also there to mark the occasion was a Jerusalem Conference of Jewish Innovators. Among them were Nobel laureates, world-class artists and scientists, and the founders of Google and Yahoo. Which begs the question, why are there so many of them? Reporter Daniel Estrin has been looking for some answers in Jerusalem.
Israel is the 100th smallest country in the world, and it's under constant threat from its neighbors. But it bears an impressive resume. It has the largest number of engineers, scientists, and PhDs per capita in the world. It trades more stocks on NASDAQ than any other country besides Canada and the U.S. Instant messaging was invented here, so was the USB memory flashcard. So all of this begs for an explanation. I asked the question to Nadav Kidron, the CEO of Oramed, a company introducing a new way of delivering insulin through a pill. What's the secret? Why are Israelis so successful at all of these breakthroughs?
Natural resources we do not have. With our neighbors to do business right now, it's going to take some time and only in the future. So I think the only resource that we have is really to use the brain power.
Baroness Susan Greenfield is a member of the British House of Lords and a scientist. She has another theory.
I think in Jewish culture there's a respect for education, which creates the right environment for the human brain to flourish and for individuality to really push itself to its limits.
Fred Worms, a British philanthropist, says it's in the gene.
We're under continuous persecution. You had to make way extra efforts to sustain yourself. Your DNA conditioning, not over 2 or 3 generations, but over 2 or 3,000 years.
Israel is largely made up of immigrants, many well-educated professionals who left because of hardship in the former Soviet Union. A history of persecution, poor relations with the neighbors, doesn't sound like the makings of success. But psychologist and entrepreneur Ofer Grossbard says all this adversity forces innovation.
If everything falls in place and I'm not worried about the future, I have less motivation. I'll have less initiative.
Israeli President Shimon Peres has his own take on Israeli business smarts. He says Israel's innovation can be traced to one word, chutzpah, or audacity. In Jerusalem, I'm Daniel Estrin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We're always interested in your thoughts. Visit marketplace.org and click on the link that says contact. Hey, we made it. It's Friday. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.